The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Before we continue, one of the ways we keep all of our content for you, the listener, free of charge is our amazing sponsors, and today, Anchor is one of those sponsors. If you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. It's free, there's creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcasts right from your phone or computer. Anchor is going to distribute your podcast for you, so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and everywhere podcasts are listened to, and you can even make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership. It's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. Download the free Anchor app or go to anchor.fm to get started.
You're tuning in to the online broadcast network, AfterBuzz TV. Over 20 million weekly downloads in over 150 countries and your number one source for after-show entertainment. AfterBuzz TV, the destination for TV superfans, producing aftershows for over 300 of your favorite TV shows, interviewing celebrities and showrunners, and bringing you behind-the-scenes exclusives. All thanks to E! Entertainment's Maria Menounos, producer Kevin Undergaro, and internet leader Akamai. Now, let the buzz begin!
And welcome, everybody. Thank you for joining us for another AfterBuzz TV After Show for us, Downton Abbey. This is series... This is series
Downton
season
Abbey.
5, episode 5. I'm John Comerford, joined in the studio by Alina Akram.
Hey, everyone.
And Tamara Berg.
Hello.
Okay, this week we had Scotland Yard comes a-knockin'. We had Bunting goes packing. We had Charles fricasseed at lunch. And where I want to start off is the fight.
There's a fight
at Downton Abbey. Finally, Bricker pays yet another visit. How many times has he come visiting?
So often that it feels like home.
Yes, exactly. He feels right at home, too at home for everybody's taste, except for, well, even Cora said that, you know, if you can behave yourself. But it's interesting that he comes on the night that, Lord Grantham is going to be doing something else in Sheffield, spending the night there with some event that he has to
Convenient.
Go to.
Convenient.
I love the scene where, you know, Bricker comes to the door unannounced, uninvited into her bedroom, to Cora's bedroom. And they have their little discussion, they're cutting back, and then you realize, oh my God, look, they came home.
I was like this. I was shouting.
Yeah.
I was just wondering the whole time if they were going to kiss or do something even more inappropriate. Because back in the day, scandalous was it that he came in her room.
Yep.
Oh, snuck into the room,
and they were in there.
In his pajamas.
Or what do you call it? His robe.
Yes, yeah. His robe.
Looking his night clothes.
Night clothes,
so,
correct.
I think that's what the term was.
And so was she.
Oh, absolutely.
And her hair was damp.
But she was great. She was just like, she was wonderful. But she held her decorum.
She did.
And she said, I must ask you to leave. No, I've asked you to leave.
Yeah. You guys are, I don't know.
What you say it. Let's go.
I think that she's already started an emotional affair, even when Robert seemed ticked off at the fact that he was coming again. She said, well, I already invited him.
Mm-hmm.
So she's asking for it, in a sense.
Yeah, but she's not going to have a chance for anything to happen from here on out.
Well, yeah, Bricker, I don't think. Well,
he's not coming back to Downton Abbey.
But she might visit him elsewhere. But I want to go back to what Lena said. So are you suggesting that she actually wanted him to go into the bedroom, not that she ever made the overture?
I don't think that she necessarily wanted that extreme.
Right.
I think that she did want to make her husband jealous.
Oh, okay.
Or at least tick him off and make him realize, like, look at this. This man admires me. Mm-hmm. He actually treats me with respect. Mm-hmm. And in a sense, I feel like she kind of wanted...
She wanted something to happen.
Some kind of reaction. And I mean, maybe not a tumble like the way.
And a punch.
Kind of a sissy... Actually, a backhand.
Kind of a sissy punch, let's be honest.
Well, was it a punch or a backhand?
It was a backhand. I think it was a backhand of his... I don't think it was a slap. It was a backhand of his fist. It was an odd choice, but, you know, it seemed very lord-like.
And what if for a guy wearing the outfit he was wearing, it looked proper?
Well, you know, it wasn't like they're... It's not like they're used to barroom fights. I just don't think, unless they did some pugilism at Oxford. I mean, who knows?
Well, also, what about the look she was giving him, Bricker, when he was leaving? She
Cora was looking at Bricker
Cora
as he's leaving.
Cora was looking at,
out the window
when he's in the car riding away.
What did you guys take away from that? Because, again, I was like...
Well, you have some thoughts on that. What do you think?
I think, again, like, she's, I don't know, probably pissed at him, but why are you out there waiting to see him go away? Like, it's as if she didn't... I don't know. I just don't think it's proper.
It looked like disdain to me.
Oh, right. Disdain.
Yeah. She was just like, seriously, you need to go.
Is that what you thought? Okay.
Yeah. Because it wasn't as if she was giving a little, you know, I mean, it would be way too obvious to do a wink or a smile or anything. But like, her face was, she did not look wistful or forlorn to me.
Right.
Which is what I think she would be if she was, if she was feeling like she wanted something to go for.
I think I'm going to go right in the middle here because I believe that Alina's right in the sense that she wanted a reaction. I don't think she at all wanted him to go into the room. I think that was legit. I think meaning her response to it was like, no, I didn't want to get out of here, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
But I think she absolutely was trying to, I'm not going to get attention from you. Fine. Okay, here's a guy who's going to lavish praise on me. That's okay. I'm going to enjoy that. As long as it doesn't... And I think she was serious when she said, as long as you behave yourself.
Right.
Because I think it was all fine and fun and it was there, but it wasn't anything serious until he crossed that threshold. And then it became, So I don't think that she wanted anything specific to happen with him, but I do agree that she was trying in some fashion, in some passive-aggressive way, to try to get a rise out of her husband.
You know,
make him start paying attention to her.
I don't really see it as that. I don't think she even thought that far into it. In my mind, she was just appreciating that this person was appreciating her. It happened that it was a guy, and as it turned out, the guy had the hots for her. Mm-hmm. But I think it was... You know, I think it absolutely started, as a, you know, moment where she was just enjoying a friendship and enjoying camaraderie over art and things like that. Mm-hmm. And, you know, she was kind of enjoying the flirtation. But once it started to really get to flirtation, she kept shutting it down.
No, I agree with that. But she also kept letting it happen because she kept putting them in a position where they'd be together.
That's true.
And the other thing is, let's not forget when he said I think it was Rosamund said she was going to be there for a week, and Lord Grantham says, well, then you'll have to
only
enjoy Cora. And you could see the look on Cora's face. She was clearly is not happy with the way that he's speaking to her.
Right.
And I think, Bricker, sure, come on in. I think she's doing it to rub his face in it a little bit.
Well, and he kind of crossed the line last week, too, when they were in the room. Was it the library? And he
caught them and interrupted them, I should say.
And what was he saying? He was being pretty forward with Cora.
Yeah, he's saying that he's about to burst because of how much he feels for
her. Great. That's exactly what she said. So she could have just cut it off then and there and not invited him again.
Yeah. That's true.
When her husband was away.
Yeah. I agree.
So, but I don't think she for a second really wanted anything to happen with him. I just don't see that part of it, but it kind of backfired on me.
She's not that innocent either.
Yeah, well, and she's really paying for it. Because,
which is ridiculous.
After, there's this big fight. Oh, by the way, the fight. Your father and I were playing a game and we knocked over a lamp.
Yeah, that's what she says.
Edith
hears it and comes knocking, and that's what she says, which is a great, okay, really, all right. But Edith buys it enough.
Oh, I thought it was hilarious.
I thought the fight was hysterical, too. I was just like, whoa. Stunts. Stunts on Downton Abbey. Nice.
Right. So then they're at the bash.
But they're pathetic because they were exhausted after like 10 seconds of fun.
Their fighting days are long
past. Yeah, long past.
So at the bash, they kept getting, they had a receiving line.
They were everybody's being
and
announced.
And Cora was being herself, and Lord Grantham was just
cold as ice. Yeah.
Yes.
Exactly what I wrote down
cold
there.
Cold as ice.
Ice.
And Violet, of course, notices it.
Violet noticed, and so did Mary.
Right. And I the whole time watching, what are you all pissed off about? I mean, own up. And clearly you're part of this, buddy.
Yeah, but
you brought this on yourself.
You know, he's a dude in that society in that time. And, you know, it's a patriarchal society, and that's how it is.
And at the end of the day, his wife was in her pajamas or whatever night clothes, and another gentleman was in the room too.
Yeah,
she shouldn't have allowed that in his eyes.
Well, I don't think she allowed it. She just went to bed. And he even confessed. He even admitted, look, I came around not at her invitation.
Sure, but Lord Grantham, he doesn't know all the details.
Yeah. That's kind of my point, is why don't you talk
find
to her,
out
find
the
out
details.
The details, discuss the matter.
He had the moment, which apparently...
He had the moment. It's the next day.
Oh, the next day. I thought you guys were talking about the fight.
No, it's the next day. He's given to the cold shoulder the entire day. And I'm going, what's the deal?
I already think he's a douche, so I'm going to start on that.
We have a new name for Lord Gerson.
Okay.
Yeah. Right. Lord DB.
All right. All right. So, but I was just like, what are you all upset about, buddy? Just figure it out. Just sit there. But of course they can't because there's no drama in sitting down and talking.
No. So. No, but I like that there was this, you know, that there's this, another one of these saucy, you know, kind of exciting moments happening.
Mm-hmm.
They told us we were going to have that with this series, and
yeah, I thought
are.
You know, it, when it was all happening, they were doing the intercut with the Lord Grantham coming down the hallway, going up the stairs,
oh, yeah.
And
yeah,
I'm like, oh, this is good, because I really was going, oh, is she going? What are they going to? Oh,
that's
is he going to kiss
I was
it?
Screaming,
and I thought I was hoping they would have pushed that just a little bit more, and like, yeah, you know, he
had a hand on
threw
her
on the
or
bed
something.
Or something like that. Not that it would, Corey would have wanted that, or you know, was just trying to get away,
just
whatever.
Just to make it look a little
just
more
to, yeah, that's, yeah, just to get it, just push that envelope a little bit farther, push that envelope. So that would have been fun.
Okay, that was good.
All right, but the other thing that was fun for me, and let's go over to the other relationship that's kind of in an iffy state, is when Mary is taken to lunch by Charles Blake.
Oh, my gosh.
And who does she meet there?
Maybelline Fox.
Who is obviously Tony Gillingham's ex-fiance. So I thought it was the two ladies there, not was like, well, didn't expect you to hear.
Nor
wow.
I.
And that
oh.
Was, yeah, Maybelline not happy to see her. Had some choice words. That
Blake
was
has some nerve.
That, yeah, you think so, right?
And I mean, quite an idea, but I don't think that any lady would want to.
You wouldn't go for
back.
This? You wouldn't go for this?
No. I liked what she told him, too. She said, eat my, because she
you
ran
said, what
out
should we
the,
do with your food?
Yeah. She said, eat it, and I hope it chokes you.
You choke on it, absolutely.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So, you wouldn't, if you were in Maybelline's position, you would have done the same thing.
Heck yeah. God, you're already mad as it is.
I know,
seeing
but
the
what about,
lady who stole.
Well, yeah, but what about the fact that she really loves him? She really loves Tony.
Who does? Mabel?
Mabel, yeah.
But let him pursue her. You don't want, you know, a guy who is, again, pursuing the woman who took away your fiance, suggesting
he's
you
just
run
trying
back
to
him.
Put all the pieces back together again the way they were supposed
to be. No, he's just trying to get Mary free and clear so he can
court her
with
her.
Yeah, that's it.
He
you
definitely
know?
Has an ulterior motive.
Of course he does, which I thought was great.
Here, like, I got it all figured out.
Remember last week?
You're going to go to lunch with me. Mm-hmm. We're going to go to lunch with her. She's going to go back to him, and then you're going to come to me.
Absolutely.
Ta-da.
And last week when they were having dinner, Mary and Charles, and he said, you know, he was saying that thing about, oh, you're trying to figure out how to get rid of Tony. Well,
right.
There are other options.
Yeah.
And this was his plan. Soften the blow. Give him Maybelline.
The snarkiness in this lunch between the two ladies was just brilliant. I mean, it was like, you know, Violet worthy for a little bit later. Right.
I feel like Mary is a modern day Violet, though.
Right, exactly, exactly. This was just a scene we needed to play when she left. But she left in quite the huff, you know, talking about, I'm supposed to take, this is what you're looking for, I'm supposed to take Mary's
discarded leavings.
Yeah, pick them up off the floor, dust off the fluff and put them on my plate or something like that.
Yeah.
Makes Tony look really appealing, doesn't it?
Well, she's probably a little, well, hell hath no fury. She's a little scorned by Tony. So,
that's right.
You know. But I love the fact that she's still in love with him. And I think Charles probably hit it on the head. She probably is still in love with him. But she's not ready to do anything about it because she's still upset about the whole thing. Rightly so.
Sure. Well, he hasn't pursued her. So why would she run back to him?
Stranger things have happened.
Yeah, you don't know. I
too
think
complicated.
There needs to be a little time in there for her, I think.
That's why I think it was a great plan. I mean, a horrible plan because really, did you think this was going to work? That she was just going to be able to... Okay, that sounds like a great idea,
sure.
Charles.
I love that Mary doesn't really care about Tony anymore or the fact that he refused to end their relationship and she just went on a little date with Charles.
Blake. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And with the ex there, too.
Yeah. Well,
of course, I'm riddling you, but that part was fun.
And then Anna even mentioned, well, are you going to see... What's his last name?
Gillingham.
And she said, no.
Yep. So last week we saw her not really putting her foot down when Tony said, I'm refusing your refusal.
Right.
Yeah. And here she's like, yeah, whatever. You can refuse all you want, but I'm still going to go to lunch with Charles and pursue that and get a fricassee with him and how he likes his meat, his beef pink, not rare.
Right.
Which I'm not exactly sure of the metaphor, and I don't really want to go there. So.
No, I don't want to know.
But okay, now speaking of other relationships, let's go to the ones that is completely on the outs now because Tom broke it off, or they parted ways as friends because he didn't want either one of them to get really hurt.
Yeah,
broken Bunting.
Yeah, Bunting is broken. Mm-hmm. So as and unfortunately, Courtney's not here. She's probably applauding the whole thing.
Oh,
she's not a fan
I'm sure
of Sarah.
She is. I'm sure she is.
Dummy bunting.
She said she was
going
to watch us tonight, mm-hmm. so hopefully she is.
So,
yeah. So before he found out she was leaving,
no, he just broke off the relationship.
He says, "You forget, my wife was one of them. My child is one of them. Why do you despise them? Maybe we should call it a day before one of us gets hurt." And so,
which is kind of what he said last week. He said, "I love them."
Right. Yeah.
So, you know, how many times do you have to tell Bunting something before she gets it?
Apparently more.
So, but this was clear.
Yeah. One of the things I wanted to bring up was from one of our YouTube fans who said, this is Eric Tull. Thank you, Eric. With regard to Sarah Bunting, I think that Fellows has picked up on the sudden empowerment of women after the Great War. Mm-hmm. The present series takes place during the very first socialist government in the UK, the very first woman socialist member of parliament. Janet Jenny Lee was elected for parliament in March 1929, even though she was not allowed to vote. And he talks a bunch about it. If you guys want to see all of what he wrote, which is very thoughtful, is on last week's YouTube page.
Right.
But so, I mean, he talks about how, you know, the aristocracy. So Bunting is a new wave of politically minded women that suddenly crawled out of the woodwork and having worked in the munition factories, et cetera.
Yeah.
And these women hated the aristocracy with a vengeance. And so it was just, I mean, they really felt like we got into the war. We were all in this terrible situation because of the aristocracy, partly, you know, and all that kind of thing. And so I think it's very hard for her to see the other side at all.
Well, as it was for Tom when he first started. But, you know, just like you spend some time with each other and you start to see that we're human and all that kind
of
stuff.
Well, and Lord Grantham brought that up.
I know,
earlier.
When they had that fireside chat.
Yeah.
So,
you should be proud of the progress what
you've achieved,
made in the family.
Yeah, which is like, what about the progress you've made because you now accepted him? You know, it's very condescending, but
yeah,
I understood the
sentiment.
Lord
DB.
Lord
DB. Mm-hmm. And also, but I like the fact that Daisy came up to
Tom.
And she tried to convince him to go back with Sarah. I like what she
Don't
said.
Let
she said,
leave.
We're the future, they're the past.
Yeah, that's echoing what you were just saying, what Eric was
exactly.
saying as well.
Yes. And she also reminds him that you were once one of us. So.
Yeah, but I also think
I don't think he forgets that.
I don't think he forgets it either. But I love it's kind of a human trait that we always want to pull people back to where they were. Nobody likes them to let them grow. You always want to pull them back.
Yeah, because it's more comfortable.
Yeah, and say,
for
no,
those of us left
him,
behind, kind
him,
of thing. Yeah,
yeah, wherever you let him grow to whatever that is, whatever the next part of his evolution is.
And the thing is, he hasn't forgotten where he's come from. It's just that he's grown to respect these people. They're literally his family now, and they've shown him respect and love, so he feels the same way.
Yeah.
I can't blame him for it.
Yeah.
Yeah. But, you know, he still, the second time he sees Sarah, when he finds out that she's actually moving, then he goes and sees her and stuff. And he thanks her so much for reminding him of who he is.
Yes. So, but he lets her leave.
Right. Of course.
Good.
But he kisses her before she goes.
Yeah. And she professed her love.
Yeah, I've loved you, you know, and I could have loved you more.
Yeah, she had a very odd way of showing it. But then again...
Right?
Yeah.
But truly, that was sort of a declaration of love for her to, you know, to keep reminding him of progress and what sort of a world we could make together kind of thing.
Mm-hmm. And ignoring his requests. That's in a weird way of showing it.
I know. And I agree with you.
Maybe deep down inside, she believed he still despised them.
Well, she wanted him to. She's even said that. Don't you despise him? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
Yeah. And she wanted him to. It's like, well, you can't really get anything done if all you do is despise the other people. Then you're just stuck in hate.
Yeah, and all you're doing is just arguing and not moving anything
forward. You're not moving anything forward. Mm-hmm. Much easier to work together. Anyway, so
can't we all just get along?
Exactly. Speaking of getting along and moving on to relationships that are on the upswing, we have Rose meeting Atticus Aldridge.
Yes.
It's like, whoa, we got new blood here.
Cute couple alert.
Russian blood. Well, kind of Russian blood.
And a meet cute, too.
And a meet, it was a nice meet cute. Mm-hmm. Yeah, coming out of
the bakery,
store.
She likes her cake.
Yes, she does. So, that was it. What do we think of those ladies? What do we think of Atticus?
I think it's cute.
I think they're a cute couple.
Mm-hmm.
Personally,
I like what she said. He's different than the others other men you meet, where you're supposed to dance with. So she sees something different in him than all the other guys. Because she also liked, you know, Jack,
right?
Who was different from all the other guys she danced with as well.
Indeed.
Yeah. So
I think that they're really cute. I'm not sure where, you know. Okay, let me just say right here, I'm stopping trying to figure out Julian Fellowes. And we'll talk about that a little later in the YouTube comments as well. But, you know, evidently the fact that he has Jewish blood is... I would think that's going to be the problem, the hurdle.
Well,
that's exactly what I thought.
I would imagine. Otherwise, why bring the whole thing in and stuff like that?
Yeah, that's the difference.
Yeah. Well, I don't know if it's that. I think it's. I think he, because of his whatever he has, there's something different about him. Or let Rosie, but I don't think she sees that it's the Jewish part of him that's.
Well,
different.
I don't think she personally sees the difference, but she knows that it may cause issues or.
Yeah, but I don't know. I think she took a liking to him way before she knew who that understood the whole thing of the Russian Jewish thing and the diaspora.
Yeah.
Not diaspora, but pushing them out of Odessa in 1859.
Yeah, I mean, the first time they met, that was not explained.
No.
And so he was, you know, he was charming and dashing and, you know.
And she was definitely
I'd like
smitten.
To come and meet
oh,
you
yeah,
at
she was smitten up right off the bat. So that was a nice little thing there in the rain.
I think he's cute.
Exactly.
that's what I was asking. Ladies, I'm asking for your opinion of him. You like him.
He's cute.
And no offense, but he's tall.
He's tall. And everybody's not liking the fact that Charles Blake isn't tall enough.
No, he's cute.
Oh,
he was tall.
People are making comments about Blake being
short. It's and I'm assuming they won't have that same problem with Atticus. I'm going to be in the minority because I am already. There's nothing wrong with Charles's height. I'm telling you right there right now.
You're right, John.
Listen, I'm all for Charles and not Tony.
Well,
no matter how tall.
Yeah, I'm not sure anybody's in Tony's camp anymore.
Yeah.
Not many anyway.
There were a couple people who were, you know, sort of flip-flopping, but one of the things that was just never mind. We'll get to it in a second when we get to another storyline, but yeah.
So we're all on board with this Atticus thing so far.
Like
right? We like the complication because, you know,
we like him.
And then, you know, the Russian aristocracy, when they're in there and they find the one guy
pretty much spat on him.
Well, one guy is like, whoa, okay. So I'm sure, I'm hoping some more of that story will come out and stuff like that. But, you know, Mr. Corrigan, and no longer Prince in this era, he's like, you know, come on, cool it, relax, you know.
Right.
But no, that other guy, I don't remember his name, but that should be interesting. I hope more of that comes out. Of course, he's going to London now to be, was it a banker, I believe, is what
he's
saying? Yes. He's the Derby. So, I mean, we got to find reasons to get them together.
I think they will come together.
She'll probably just run away.
Any opportunity for Rose to go to London, she'll take it.
I'm going shopping.
Mm-hmm. I'm
going
to go shopping.
Exactly. I'm going to see Rosemont. So that'll be interesting.
Yeah.
But, it was fun to see them together. It's great to see Rose have something there.
Right, because she's the one ingenue we have now, you know? I mean, we're rooting for Mary to get in some sort of relationship, but it's not, you know, it's not as sort of sweet and beautiful as the Matthew relationship was because there's all of this complication in life coming into it. And so I think we're getting to sort of pin our romantic hopes on Rose. And it's nice. They're a very cute couple, and it could be a sweet and adorable Christmas wedding, maybe.
that's fast.
That's what I was thinking.
All right. Okay.
I mean, Christmas special wedding.
Right.
For Downton. So, you know,
right.
I win that.
Well, let's move on to another one that confounds me because we have Violet still sticking her nose in with Isabel Nord Merton.
What is that about?
I don't know because I originally, you know, and help me out, everybody, because in the beginning it was like she was doing this just to get Isabel's goat in some fashion and putting Lord Merton there. And then, you know, kind of Isabel's against it, like, I don't want to see him. I'm not interested, all that kind of stuff. But then she kind of took liking to it. And of course, as soon as she did, Biden wants to bring Clarkson in and, you know, upset the apple cart. Go ahead.
Well, when Dr. Clarkson was talking to her and was mentioned, it's not because the recent change of position for Miss Crawley, Mrs. Crawley, if she does marry the Lord, which that had me thinking, is there a bit of jealousy?
Well, we talked about this a couple of, unfortunately, you weren't here in that one. We talked about it a couple of weeks ago, and that's what I posited. I mean, she's got to be, you know, concerned about that because she wouldn't want her position to be shadowed in any way by Isabel's.
Right.
Yeah, so, I thought they're BFFs now.
Well, they're kind of begrudging BFFs.
They're frenemies. Frenemies.
They are frenemies.
I mean, they're always together, walking through a graveyard or something like that.
The graveyard.
But then they just bicker at each other, but they seem to manage and get on.
Right. And I don't understand if it's just story confusion, if it's trying to continue things. Or if there's something behind it, because Violet is flip-flopping.
Yes,
yeah.
She
was all for one, then she was all for the other, and then she's all for one, and now, you know.
And again, she brought Clarkson back to try to, you know, separate them, Lord Merton and Isabella again.
Right, and then the comment is...
At the end of that scene when they had lunch together.
The truth is they're well-suited for each other. Because you're right.
She talks about the rites and ceremonies that are brought in by the Victorians, which echoed something that Isabella talked about earlier. So they are well suited together. Now, whether or not they'll actually get married, we don't know yet, because Isabel makes that great comment to Violet. Well, I'm going to tell him before I tell you.
Yeah, that was funny.
And I must say, sometimes Isabel has some good one-liners,
she's
too.
Great.
Yes.
What was the nudist colony comment she told Violet? Well, I'm sure they weren't suggesting that
for
it wasn't
you.
Meant for you.
Right.
I loved it. Gotta appreciate it.
So, but does anybody have a clear understanding what Violet what the end game is?
I'm hoping some of our viewers do, because we've had some crazy, crazy theories on all sorts of things, but also some great insight, as obviously I was reading earlier. Yeah. So, you know, if you guys have comments for us, let us know.
Yeah. It's really helpful, especially because, you know, we watch these and then we come up here. We don't really have a lot of time between actually seeing it and actually coming up and talking. So those people who can digest this and have come up with theories have some time to do so. So we appreciate that.
Yeah, we do. But, you know, the thing is I'm just going to declare that I'm on Team Clarkson in this situation. I am. Because, I think Lord Merton, as sweet as he is, I feel like he's just not as well suited as Dr. Clarkson was. We were rooting for them last season, you know, last series.
Sure, she put the kibosh on that.
I know she did, and it annoyed me because I thought that they were great together. I mean, she really shut him down, and she was, you know, British polite about it.
Yeah.
But in the bigger scheme of things, I thought it was kind of rude because they were great together.
Yeah, but she doesn't need a man. Didn't want one.
I mean, maybe that's all it comes down to. Yeah. She doesn't want any man.
I don't know.
Period.
But the only reason why I'd like them together, and I'm sorry to interrupt, is because I would love her to be a lady on the same level or maybe even above the Dowager just to see what would happen. I think that would be fun.
It would be.
So
I mean, this is off topic, but I just thought it was really cute that they came to the ball together and they were announced together.
Yeah, that was nice.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it looked good.
Miss Crawley,
because, you know, you kind of got a glimpse of the future. It's like, maybe. Maybe.
Lord and Lady Merton.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, but you would say, you want Dr. Clarkson. What about you?
I don't know. Maybe because it's been such a while that I've seen their dynamic together. I'm kind of on Team Merton right now. But I do recall when you were mentioning them.
Yeah. They were fun together. They were good together.
Do you have an opinion, John?
Well, no, because I have always liked Clarkson. I was a big proponent of them last year as well, saying, like, come on, they're great together, all that kind of stuff. And when she said no, I understood it. It made sense. But I do like the idea that she's Lady Merton. She kind of, you know.
It's a really fair point.
Because they're great digging at each other, and I think it would be fun for the Dowager and Isabel. Lady Gret. What's her title now? It wouldn't be...
Who?
It's the
Violet?
Dowager against...
She's a Dowager Countess against Lady Merton.
Yes, exactly. Right. There you go. Thank you.
But, you know, here's the other thing. Remember Dr. Clarkson with the Sybil situation.
Right.
With the birth of the baby and how he was, you know, cast aside and really kept trying to get, you know, to save her, essentially. I mean, he was really heroic in his attempt.
Yeah.
And it was... I can't even talk about it. It's so heartbreaking.
I know. Still, isn't it? Still wrong.
It still hurts.
Because when you were talking about Rose being the ingenue, I was thinking, because we don't have Isabel anymore and that young love that they had. And it's like, and I started thinking about that. And I went, we're going to talk about something else.
Let's move on.
That's such a brutal scene. Okay.
So bad.
Moving on.
Anyway, that's another one of the reasons why I love Dr. Clarkson. Yeah. Because he's, you know.
Well, he's been terrific.
He's a hero.
He's been terrific.
He's a hero.
So, and since we've talked Isabel, let's talk about the third daughter, Edith.
Poor Edith.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, no, this poor girl.
Rosamund comes visiting because when Mary was in London, she mentioned the child that Edith had taken an interest in. And so that brought Rosamund running.
Yes.
And, of course, she had a chat with Edith and actually wanted to go. I thought it was really nice that she wanted to go see Marigold.
Yeah, I did too. It was really touching.
It was touching.
It?
Yeah.
And the way, you know, she clearly wanted to give her big loves, you know.
Yeah. And I put my life on hold for 10 months to bring her into this world. Of course I want to see her. And, you know, I actually, when she was there, I was hoping for a little something for the both of them so they could have a moment with Marigold where you could, and of course, no.
Instead, it was very awkward.
No, it was horrible.
Painful.
It was very difficult, very painful.
Well, and Rosamund, as she was leaving, saying, remember your auntie.
Yeah, auntie.
I mean, friend, Rosamund.
Yeah. And then Marigold cries.
Marigold screams, get that lady away from me!
Exactly. And even Tim sent him away. So, yeah, that was very uncomfortable and unfortunate and sad.
Yeah. Yes. You know, the one...
And it really is... I'm sorry to interrupt, but it really illustrated what... Rosamund was saying how your whole place is in danger, meaning your whole
infinite
position.
Damage to your reputation. Yes. That's what I was going for right there. So you,
But what was the thing? She's and no emotional
with no reward.
No, yeah, and it was that really just so solidified that. Ugh. And I know we always joke, poor Parita, but I was just going, oh man, that poor woman.
Yeah, I mean, and you know how when Drew tells her you really have to stop. You can't do this anymore.
Yeah.
You know, she was kind of a woman possessed at that moment. Because she comes in and her exact line was, I have to see her.
Right.
You know, and so she's so kind of driven to this singular focus right now.
Yeah.
But, you know, I have to say, the thing is that I have a hard time with the storyline because I'm sure Gregson is coming back.
You're sure?
I'm sure. And they're all going to be a happy family. And so I'm just sitting kind of here watching this going... Yeah, whatever.
Move it along,
Julian Fellows, because I know because it's poor Edith. We've all adopted the hashtag, and by the time you get the hashtag, it's time to make a change. And so he's going to make her happy. I'm certain of it. Certain.
I hope so. Mm-hmm. God, so many seasons of depression.
And so for now, it's just like, come on, get it on.
But it is. Sometimes I'm going, let's move this going. Let's get this going, move it along a little bit, because it is just kicking the thing down the road a little bit.
But this was interesting because now Violet knows.
Yes.
Because
she browbeat Rosamund.
Great scene, you know, of Rosamund and read. Violet. I'm afraid you've read somewhere that rudeness in old age is amusing. It's not.
I wonder where Rosamund gets that kind of way with a word and a line.
So she tells, you know, tell me the secret about Edith. What is the secret? The child is hers, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. The whole thing.
Yeah. Ugh. So, but I thought that scene was great. You know you're not leaving without telling me this. So do you want to tell me now or should I have a room made up for you?
And then, that was a great scene. And then right after that was when she went back to Tim, which is what we've already talked about. But the other thing I thought was interesting is Tim's plan. If you keep coming, we'll just leave.
We'll move.
Because what's the other choice? There are no other choices except, what, are we going to bring the baby at the Downton and leave it in the library? That's not going to happen either.
Right.
So he's positioning it or framing it such that there is no choice. You just have to stop.
Right.
And that's just not going to happen.
Right, and that's the thing that pushes Edith to...
Okay, so that's Tim's plan. Well, either you're going to stop or we're going to just move and take her with us.
Right.
And, of course, the other plan that Violet and Rosamund come up with.
Always the pragmatist, Violet.
We must get the child away. There are schools who will take any child. It's quite manageable.
And take it to France. Take Marigold to France. You can still visit, but as long as you never reveal your relationship. So what do you think of that plan? If Tim's is just, okay, fine, if you don't stop, we're out of here. Or we just take the baby.
Lose for poor Edith.
Yeah, there's no position there, nothing. Mm-mm. And the only thing she could think of is, well, what if I just take the baby to London?
Yeah, that's going to be easy to be.
Exactly.
But she's planning. That's the phone call she makes. So I don't know who she's calling.
Yeah, but she's going to steal it.
So is that what you're thinking?
She's going to steal it.
Okay.
She's now going to be a kidnapper.
Okay.
And we're going to have a couple weeks. Here's what's going to happen. We're going to have a couple weeks in London where she's going to be on the lam. And then Gregson's going to turn
Marigold.
Up.
With Marigold.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And with Marigold. Gregson's and then Gregson's going to turn up. And then I'll be happy. All right. Edith.
Well, that might be fun, though. Edith.
Well, what about the pork? The couple, the Jews.
Ugh.
God. Well,
they get their baby taken away.
Well, that's going to be difficult too. But you know, they have their own kids, so they'll. It's not. I mean, what else are you going to say? Well, this isn't your child. I never should have done this, but I'm sorry.
Jesus.
What do you do?
It's terrible.
Yeah, it's horrible
because she's already stolen that child away.
Yes, exactly. They made a point of reminding us.
Mrs. Schroeder's been able to piece her life back together. Well, she adopted another baby.
Yeah, exactly. Which is that's kind of why I said, the Drews have their own babies. You know, that's kind of what they were saying with the Schneiders.
Schroeder,
thank you.
But terrible.
Yeah.
Talk about being self-centered and not.
Yeah.
You know, having
but
any
can
compassion.
You see what else is there to do? Except, look, you got to fess up. You got to own up. This is your child. That's your only solution. Here's the truth. yes, it's going to be horrible for the family, but it's the only chance you have at any kind of happiness with that child.
Yes, with the child.
Period.
Now, I don't know what that will do to the child's
infinite
fortune.
Damage to her reputation.
Yeah, there you go. Infinite damage to her reputation. All right. So that's where we're stuck with. All right. Two more things. I don't know what the Mrs. Patmore's inheritance had. It was an interesting little detour of the storylines.
What
I'm
was
not
that
as,
about?
I don't know. I don't know if this is going to be an ongoing story. But I thought it was interesting that Miss Patmore, she inherited 400 pounds.
Yep. Besides the fact that Mrs. Hughes undermined Carson's knowledge about such things, and it was pretty cute that he got so riled up about it, I don't see the purpose.
Either. I felt like it was sort of thrown in, but a couple of things. I liked how the ladies twisted the conversation.
Yeah, that was great.
And allowed him to save face. But you were the one who gave her the idea.
Yes.
And before that, leading into the conversation in the room, Mrs. Hughes said, "I wish men worried about our feelings a quarter as much as we do theirs."
Right. Then I said, "We can't. You have too many feelings."
Shut up.
So it was a fine storyline. I was just going, but as I'm watching, I'm going, is this somehow part of everything? It didn't feel as organic as everything else to me.
No,
so it's kind of an odd throw-in. I did like, you know, the Miss Patmore being so honest about saying, "Well, I asked him because he was a man."
Yeah,
and Mrs. Hughes saying, "Yeah, that's never a good idea."
Yeah, well, except in that time, that was, you know.
But you know, Carson was so, you know, when he met Lord Grantham, he learned about the WP boss or whatever in the building, and he passes that information on to Miss Patmore.
Such bad advice.
No, bad advice. And he's all puffed up. He thinks he's right. And then she starts asking questions, and he can't answer him. He's like so deflated so quickly. Say, wow.
I mean, you know, more than anything, it was just sort of character reminder for me, the storyline, you know? And that's one of the things we love about the show is, you know, getting to really live with the characters.
Yeah, but I'm just wondering, if, you know, because she says it's not just she bought a house, but she bought a house to rent.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so who's she going to rent it to? Mm-hmm. Is that going to be somebody we know? Is that where the child is going to be? You know, I mean...
Yeah.
Marigold.
This is very interesting, John.
So I'm just wondering, you know.
Do you stay up late at night?
Yes, I do. Exactly.
I bet
exactly.
You do. You have a flow chart on your wall, don't you?
Yes. No thoughts of this? No, you didn't think this through, huh?
I honestly didn't. All I thought was how cute Mrs. Patmore is when she ran in and she said, I finally have good news.
Good news. My aunt died.
It was such a nice turnaround from last week.
How cute is she?
She's great.
She was, okay, that's not the good news. Yeah, it was terrific.
Yeah.
That's
Yeah.
All right. So
she's back to her sweet self again.
Yeah.
You know, after kind of having
after
some
Archie's
troubles with
trouble.
You know, continuing to encourage Daisy.
I'm curious of whether or not those stories will ever get resolved in any way, because we don't know if Archie's name is going to be anywhere in any canon. So, they made a point of really following that storyline for two episodes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, all right. So, let's move on to our next one, which is Scotland Yard Comes Calling.
Yes.
And everybody's on edge because of, you know, the fact that it's not just Sergeant Willis calling, it's Inspector Viner with them, and it's a whole Scotland Yard deal now.
Yeah.
Different kettle of fish.
Yeah.
So, he interviews Anna, was it Mary first or Anna? Mary first. Yeah. And she answers, and he's suspicious of everything. Good detective, as you should be. You know, why not be suspicious? But I don't think he was satisfied with any of the answers that he got.
Not at all.
So he must know something that we don't yet, which makes him obviously suspicious. So
something's up.
Mm-hmm.
Well, okay. So I was talking earlier about how. Okay. one of our, again, YouTube comments, Gatora, might be Gatorade, 555, says, regarding the unending green business, stop already. There's nothing plausible about this situation. Over it. And I am adopting that mentality.
Nothing plausible about it.
Nothing plausible. And that's, you know, that's the thing. Pablo Castillo Dominguez, who gave us the dog.
Right, got it. Thank you, Pablo.
Tip, he counseled me through my impatience on the story, which
was great.
Okay,
thanks, Pablo.
But there are a couple of people. Catherine Smith says that Gillingham killed Green.
Okay.
Okay. Right. Because people had talked about how he never really liked his valet and that he would kill him for Mary.
Okay. Yeah.
Right? So, because one of the reasons why some people don't like Gillingham is because he's a little cray cray.
Okay.
Mm. And, you know, I refuse to accept your refusal and that kind of thing. So, more than one person has said that I bet Green, Gillingham killed Green. Eric Tull, again, says Gillingham has said on two occasions that he didn't like his valet.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, but I mean, that says it's a big leap to go from I don't like somebody to I pushed him in front of a bus.
For my girlfriend.
If that's
for the
case,
maid of my girlfriend.
There'd be a lot more pushing in front of bus.
Jeez. Who suggested Mrs. Hughes?
Oh, I did at one point. Because
well, she sure looked defensive and scared when Anna was getting questioned.
Yes. Yes.
Didn't she? Did you guys notice that?
Yes, absolutely.
She was more nervous than Anna was.
Mm-hmm. I'm not speculating anymore.
Well, I mean, I agree that they're completely, all of them so far are completely implausible, but because we only have a limited pool to pick from, we have to pick somebody.
That's true.
And it's fun for a little bit, and that's why I said it was Mrs. Hughes, because that's just as likely as anybody else.
Right, because they're all incredibly unlikely.
Exactly.
But I agree, too. I'm over it. Let's get something tied up.
Well, you know, the nice thing about this particular story then that they did this time is they actually had Anna and Bates have a conversation.
Right. Thank you. I wanted to talk about that.
It touched back on why everybody liked them together as a couple, because they weren't talking about the Green. Well, they started to talk about the little discussion of the cops and everything, but then they got into personal things, the reasons why they love each other and that kind of stuff. So that was nice to remind us. Nature.
Right. And so this week, what did the police want? She says, I honestly don't know. And he says, I promise you this, nothing bad is ever going to happen to you again. I'll make certain you're safe.
And we'll be surrounded by kids and all that. So So if Anna is found out or arrested in any way, he'll take the fall.
Right.
Because that's what he'll do. Because there's no way he wants her to go to prison. So she'll be pregnant.
I was going to say, she can have a baby in jail.
Then they're going to arrest her, it's going to look like they're going to arrest her.
They're going to accuse her.
Accuse her or something like that, and Bates will step in and
That's
confess.
Just as plausible as anything else.
Exactly.
<right? laughs>
Exactly.
Sure, we'll take that one,
all right, but lastly, we should talk about Thomas real quick, because
it's
interesting that Thomas, he'd take he took a big interest, I should say, with the inspector being there. He wants to know what's up. So...
Yes.
What is up with him telling Mrs. Hughes he might have something
to
tell
them?
Yeah. Who knows? But, you know, he always likes to stir the pot, cause some trouble there. So I'm not exactly sure what it is specifically that he wants to say. But he's got an axe to grind, which is, you know, I don't know why with Bates so much, because Bates got him out of a big jam.
Yeah.
But he obviously doesn't like him. You know, and he might just be, you know, systemically upset.
Yeah, he likes to have the power.
Mm-hmm. And of course, he's been had a rough deal his whole life too. So maybe he's just striking out because of it.
Yeah, could be.
So, but he certainly does not look well, because everybody was noticing it now.
No.
So it's no secret whatever he's doing is having an effect that everybody is noticing.
He is a mess, for sure.
So even the Dowager noticed it, said something at dinner.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Crazy talk, right?
Yeah.
For the Dowager to say something.
Yeah, that's harsh and rare. So,
yeah, that'll come. Any ideas on what he might say or what he might reveal, or just not even that it has anything to do with truth?
No, I have nothing.
I have nothing either.
All right. You never know with Barrow. He comes up with all kinds of stuff.
Yeah, he may just come up with something.
Let's get to, I don't really want to deal with the predictions. Let's get to news and gossip.
Yeah, let's not do predictions.
We're not doing any, because we've already talked about it. We're doing news and gossip.
The TV Times caught up with Michelle Dockery, who plays Lady Mary, asked her a few questions about this series. They asked her what's happening with Mary's love life now that she's dumped Tony and seems to be going back with Charles. She says she made a decision but changed her mind, but she can't be flippant because it is her future. Whoever she turns out to be with, she has to take on a lot of responsibility for Downton and for her son, George. It was never going to be a quick decision for her.
But Charles got all that money and he's got the title and the... Come on, she said.
I mean, that's an easy decision for me, but...
Yeah.
And regarding her relationship with Edith, And that they seem to be bantering mm-hmm. again. Well, she says, yes, well, while they were grieving for Matthew and Sybil, they were civil. But now Mary has her wit and spark back, and they're in the full flow again. Laura and I get excited about those scenes because we spit at each other. It's hilarious and hard to keep a straight face being mean to one of your best mates. Because they are best
yeah,
friends.
Yeah, they're best friends.
Aww.
Yeah. Yeah. They do a good job hiding it. So.
Okay. It turns out that you can buy your way into Downton Abbey.
Whoa.
This week, we met ruggedly handsome Atticus Aldridge, Rose's new possible love interest. While his name seems to be typically English, creator Julian Fellowes did not name the new character.
Side note, tell.
Side note, because if he did, he'd named him Birch or Fern. Because of his... floral names that he usually gives characters. Okay. Shortly after finding out that her daughter, Aliena, had type 1 diabetes, Lady Maria Balfour, a friend of Julian Fellowes, mm-hmm. decided to take action. Within days, she had contacted Fellowes and asked him if he would contribute something from his hit show Downton Abbey for her fundraiser.
Oh, nice.
So he generously donated the centerpiece of the fundraiser's auction, naming rights to a character for Series 5
wow,
of the show.
Look at that.
Lady Maria, known as Juby, said, I wrote suggesting the idea, never thinking that he would agree. He answered straight away, saying, what a great idea. No one has ever asked us that before. In addition to Julian Fellowes, Home Secretary Theresa May and Pippa Middleton attended the event, which raised more than £200,000 for type 1 diabetes research.
Yay. Right on.
The winner of the auction named the character for his son. No word on how much he donated to get the prize, but certainly it is a gift that they will be able to talk about for many years to come, and the money goes to a great cause.
Yes. Well, that's terrific.
Yeah,
that is.
Couple of quick shout-outs to, let's see, Catherine Smith, Matt Lau, we talked about him last week, Jesse, So You Think You Can Dance. A lot of people talked about, yes, absolutely, Thomas is trying to cure himself.
Okay.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And this might be a little scoop, a little investigative scoop. On the story of diabetes,
right.
Julian Fellowes apparently is also planning to create a separate diabetic character on the series.
Hmm.
What if Thomas is diabetic?
Oh, I see.
Oh. Uh-huh.
Explains the injections.
Insulin?
Could be.
Okay, it's not going to be that.
It's not going to
I just thought I'd bring it up. Gavin 48, 63, Island Girl, Soren Crane, Elizabeth... Freesh.
Okay.
Pepsi Lava. And that's it.
All right.
Thank you for all the
yes, thank you, please.
Comments.
We can't tell you how much we like enjoy
them. And the tweets.
Them.
Oh, right. Yeah. I was saying to John earlier, I sit and I laugh out loud as I read these comments. They make me laugh because they're so funny.
Yeah.
The fans know us pretty well and they say some pretty silly things about us, which just is delightful. And, every day.
But great insight too. So amazing insight. Yeah.
I mean, it's fantastic. You guys are so great. You just give me great joy. So thank you.
So, and speaking of talking to them, where can they find you?
Yeah, they can find me on Twitter at Tamara Berg, TamaraBerg, and my website is TamaraCentral.com.
Alina.
And you guys can find me on Twitter at Alina Akram, LAALINA, last name AKRAMLA.
And you can only find me here where I will be next week for another exciting wrap up of Downton Abbey Series 5. Thanks for listening. We'll talk to you next time.
See you next week.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
Cup of tea.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.